Make Me a Fan Podcast.
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 All right, welcome back to the Make Me a Fan Podcast. I am Sean McGregor. I'm joined once again by my beautiful wife, Carrie. How you doing, Carrie?
Good.
Carrie, I got a quote for you.
Okay.
And I want to hear your reaction.
Okay.
Here it is. You can't rape a prostitute, can you?
Yes, you can.
Well, that's a quote from our topic today, Robert Christian Hansen. That should give you an idea of where this little tale is going to go. I don't think you've done a true crime episode with us yet, have you?
No.
Yeah, it's just been me and TJ. Yeah. TJ is staying home today. He's in his robe, not moving off the couch.
A little hungover.
I don't know. He didn't really seem drunk last night. So he might
That's
be.
Good.
But yeah, now a lot of my notes were prepared for TJ. I tried changing them a little bit for you, but we'll go. Maybe I'll make you a fan of a serial killer. Because you like Mindhunter and, you know, stuff like that. So who knows? Maybe you'll have some good input and why someone like this would do the things that he did.
Okay.
So, Robert Christian Hansen, not to be confused with Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator. he was an Alaskan serial killer and rapist who abducted prostitutes and hunted them in the wilderness in the early 1980s. Alaska is pretty close to Canada, and that kind of seems to be a running theme lately with our cult leader, Rock Terrio, and serial killer, happy face killer, and even the Oakland County child killers were in Michigan, which is pretty close to Canada.
So,
we've been kind of wondering what the cold weather has to do with all these horrific things.
People are bored.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's you're just cold and you just hate everything, basically.
Yeah.
So Hansen targeted prostitutes and topless dancers in their mid-teens to early 40s. After soliciting them, he would abduct them and take them to a meat shack by bush plane. Do you know what a bush plane is?
No.
I'm pretty sure it's one of those planes that can, like, land on water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you see them up for, like, fishing trips and hunting trips up in, you know, Canada and Alaska and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
It's one of those small little planes, basically. Okay. I think.
So he takes them to this meat shop alive.
Meat shack, yeah.
Or whatever, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He later stated that he would let them live if they submitted to his sexual fantasies. The ones who didn't were raped anyways, then stripped naked and set loose in the wilderness where he would hunt them with a 223 hunting rifle.
That sounds fucking terrifying.
Right? It's kind of like, you probably never seen it, but there's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie called Hard Target, where he's like a homeless guy and some rich guy like takes homeless people out in like the woods and tries hunting them, but he makes a mistake of trying to hunt Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh my gosh. I'm just thinking about the situation. That's so uncomfortable. I would never want to be in that position.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty terrifying being naked and hunted by a guy with a gun out in the Alaskan wilderness. But yeah, after killing him, he would take pieces of jewelry from them as souvenirs and bury the bodies in the area, marking the burial sites on a map. The women he didn't kill would be raped and forced into having oral sex with him or sexually assaulted with the handles of hammers and broomsticks.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. You should have listened to joined in the Rock Terrio episode, what he did to those chicks or women, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, you might want to go back and listen to that episode. It's a pretty popular episode that we've been doing.
Yeah, I will. I'm just like wrapping my brain around all this morbid information. But okay, go on.
Yeah. Well, before we get too deep into his crimes, we usually go back and have a look at his history, you know, starting with his childhood. He was born in Esterville, Iowa in 1939. His father was a Danish immigrant named Christian, and his mother was named Edna Hansen. His father, with whom he had a difficult relationship, was very strict and often made him work long hours at the family-owned bakery. So we have like serial killer check marks that we do. And usually one of the first serial killer check marks is
bad relationship with your dad.
Yeah, or a bad father, or a drunken, abusive father, stuff like that. So he has the first check mark. During his childhood, he was often bullied for his stutter and severe acne. In school, he had no close friends. So that's serial killer check mark number two. Bullied, no friends in school at all, that sort of thing. We saw that with a happy face killer. He was picked on because he was like 7 feet tall. After graduating high school in 1957, he enlisted in the U.S. Army Reserve, where he became a skilled marksman, serving one weekend a month and working at the bakery the rest of the time. That's how he got his nickname, the Butcher Baker.
Okay.
Yeah. I always thought that was kind of a shitty nickname. Like, they could have came up with something better for him, you know? Like, get Smiley Face Killer, Happy Face Killer, Yorkshire Ripper, BTK, Son of Sam, you know.
Fuck that. They're serial killers. That's all they need to be classified as.
Yeah, I guess. So sometimes he volunteered as an assistant drill sergeant at the police academy in the town of Pocahontas. In 1960, he fell in love and married a local girl. But on December 7th of the same year, he burnt down the school bus garage of the local high school. And he was caught, of course, when a friend turned him in. But he only got a 3-year prison sentence, which he only served 20 months for. But during the 20 months, his wife did divorce him and leave him. So he was paroled, even though he was diagnosed as having an infantile personality. And I was going to ask TJ what that meant. Infantile, like a personality, like an infant? Or
no.
Like the terrorists, like they call them infantiles, right?
Like maybe like has something to do with infinite?
I don't know. Are you looking it up?
I am.
All right. Well, while you're looking that up, in 1963, he remarried a woman with whom he had 2 children. And then 4 years later, after he served several jail sentences for petty theft, he moved to Anchorage, Alaska with his family. He became an avid hunter, and he actually had like several hunting records. But most of them are like, you know, nullified after all his crimes were found. Did you see what it...
It's looking right now. You have to...
Oh.
Give my old
phone.
Oh, yeah,
you got an
time.
Old phone. I forgot.
Okay, here it is. It says what did you say it is? What did you refer
infantile.
To it
as? Infantile personality.
Yeah, then you're right. It basically means childish.
Mm. Okay, so I have an infantile personality.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the year after his last record breaking, he was convicted of raping a prostitute and attempting to rape a housewife.
Okay, was he still married at this point?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but he only served 6 months in prison for those 2 crimes. Yeah, we see this a lot with serial killers. A lot of their earlier crimes that they're caught for, they get, you know, basically a slap on the wrist with no punishment.
Wow, and funny how times have not changed.
Yeah, and I think it just kind of like, it builds their ego, like... Okay, I barely got punished for this crime.
Right.
So I'm untouchable. Kind of like serial killers at like BTK, he got away with it for so long, he thought he was untouchable, and then it was just a stupid little mistake that, you know, got him put in jail.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Well, in 1977, he was imprisoned once again for stealing a chainsaw. I guess if you're going to steal something, might as well be a chainsaw. And he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. He was prescribed lithium, but wasn't required by law to take it. He was released after only a year. So he got 1 year for stealing a chainsaw, but only 6 months for raping a prostitute and trying to rape a housewife.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, for sure. I guess I know, you know.
Yeah, if you're going to do something bad, you may as well just kill someone.
Yeah, you might as well just
do way less jail time.
Yeah, just go deep in or don't go at all, right?
Yeah, the government just like wants you to kill people because there's too many people.
Well, in the
just kidding.
Early 1980s, he reported a burglary on his home, but he actually staged it himself. With the money he got from the insurance company, he opened up a bakery of his own and established himself as a well-liked family man, despite, you know, his extensive record.
don't people know his extensive record?
Well, this is 1980. They didn't have, you know, CCAP or Google back then.
Oh, so maybe he was in a different town?
Yeah, he moved up. Well, he moved up to Alaska, but that's where the rapes happened. But Alaska is fucking huge.
Yeah.
You know, you can rape someone up in, you know, Green Bay, and we don't know about it down here in Milwaukee.
It's huge, but there's not really a lot there.
That's true. I think they only got like two towns.
Yeah, it's like all like landscape.
Yeah. Well, anyway, in January 1982, he bought himself a Piper Supper Cub bush plane, even though he was denied a pilot's license due to his medication. It was kind of funny. When he went to go get his pilot's license to buy this plane, he put down that he's on the medication. They're like, oh, sorry, you can't, you know, do this.
Fly.
So he literally like erased it and put no medication. And they're like, oh, okay, cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, during later questioning, Hansen claimed that starting in 1973, after finishing his first rape sentence, he became a serial rapist, picking up prostitutes from Anchorage's Tenderloin District, which sounds like a lovely part of town, actually, and taking them by his bush plane to the wilderness, where he would rape and torture them. He later claimed that the ones who complied, he would return to Alaska alive, and those who didn't, he would kill. So from 1973 to 1983, he abducted and raped at least 30 women that way and let them go. At least 17 women picked up during the years of 1980 to 1983 were less fortunate. After raping them, he released them in the woods and hunted them with a hunting rifle, as you do. His crimes first became known in 1982 when the body of exotic dancer Sherry Morrow was found near the Nick River by two off-duty police officers. It took 2 weeks to identify her. A spent .223 shell casing was found in the dirt near the body. 2 years prior to that, two other women had been found in similar circumstances. The first was found by construction workers near a road and has never been identified. The second was a topless dancer named Joanne Messina. On June 13th, 1983, a young prostitute named Cindy Paulson was spotted with a handcuffed on her wrist by a truck driver. She's lucky that truck driver wasn't Keith Jesperson. He was the happy face killer. You should go back and listen to that episode. He's a truck driving serial killer.
Ah.
And pretty much the only reason he kills is because either hookers keep trying to rob him, jump in his cab, or bitches don't shut the fuck up.
Okay.
Yeah, there's, you go back and listen to it. It's kind of funny in a not funny way.
Okay.
Anyway, he gave her, the truck driver gave her a ride to a motel where she was waited for her pimp, and then they called the police. When Anchorage police officer Greg Baker arrived, Paulson told him how a man had offered her $200 for oral sex, which kind of seemed a little expensive, especially 1983.
Back then.
Yeah, that's what, like $1,000 today?
I don't know. Maybe she was high class.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe she was really pretty.
Maybe. She's a hooker, though. I don't know. It's not like it's L.A., I guess. I've never been there, but I assume. Yeah. He then handcuffed her and forced her at gunpoint into his car. He drove her to his house and brutally raped and tortured her. Hansen's wife and children were vacationing in Europe at the time. I guess if he can afford a European vacation, he could probably spend $200 for a blowjob, right?
Right.
Afterwards, he drove her to an airport and put her in his bush plane, presumably to take her out in the wilderness and hunt her. While he was loading it up with supplies, though, she managed to take off. Paulson made a formal statement to the police and not only identified the make and color of the plane, but also remembered his tail number. Hansen, of course, was the owner and identified by her, but he got two friends to give him a false alibi for the night, so he basically got away with it.
Wow.
Yeah, on September 2nd, the body of another victim, Paula Golding, turned up, and the case was brought up again. The Alaskan investigators began looking into Hansen again and contacted the FBI, who sent their profiler, John Douglas. Some people say it was Ray Hazelwood, but either way, he profiled the killer as having low self-esteem, a history of rejection by women, and being an experienced hunter. He also correctly predicted that he would take souvenirs from his victims and would have a stutter. Sounds like Mindhunter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when the two men who gave Hansen an alibi for the night he attacked Cindy Paulson confessed that they had been lying, the investigators finally really started focusing on him. They brought him in for questioning while executing search warrants on his house, planes, and cars. In the house, they found a collection of weapons, including the .223 Ruger Mini 14 he used to commit his murders, IDs and jewelries taken from his victims, and an aviation map with several marked locations. When FBI forensic lab matched the shell casings found near the victim to the Mini 14 found in Hansen's house, he made a plea bargain. He was charged with four murders whose victims had been found and with the abduction and rape of Cindy Paulson, and agreed to confess all of them and give all the details about his victims and show them the burial sites as long as they would not televise his trial or anything. Basically, he wanted like his family to not have to, you know, be ashamed of what he did. So he led them to all 17 victims and they kept it out of the news. That's why I never heard about this guy until I started looking for serial killers.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. On February 18th of 1984, Hansen was convicted of murder and sentenced to life in prison plus 461 years. On May 11th, 2014, in the Anchorage Correctional Center, he received medical attention for an undisclosed lingering heart condition. Hansen died on August 21st of the same year in 2014 at the Alaska Regional Hospital due to undisclosed health conditions. He had a do not resuscitate order on his file. So I guess we won't be able to contact him and try to get him to do a Skype call and be a guest on the podcast.
What?
Yeah, me and TJ are talking about doing Skype calls with serial killers.
No.
I talked to my friend Ashley on Facebook and she's doing pen pal shit with like killers on death row. I told her, I'm like, see if they want to be on the podcast. They'll do it. It'll be a Skype call, obviously. I don't want those people to know where I live.
Yeah, my thing is like, why give them any more attention than this? I mean, this alone is more attention than they deserve.
I don't do it to give them attention. I like to try to figure out why, what drives a person to do it.
So you want to be the dude on Mindhunter, a professional more like investigator.
No, obviously, I'm not a professional, but like I've been interested in serial killers since like fifth grade when Jeffrey Dahmer was on trial, you know, right here in our own town of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ever since then, I've always looked into it and trying to, you know, you look at their childhood, look at who they are as a person and what they do. You know, that's why I'm interested in serial killers. Like this guy, to me, it seems like, you know, he really liked hunting. And, you know, when you start any kind of hobby, or if you play like a video game, right? You beat the video game. You're like, okay, I really like that game. Maybe I'll try it again. Like instead of playing it on easy, I'll try it on medium. And then you beat it on medium. You're like, well, I'm not going to try to do it hard. I think the same thing kind of goes with hunting. You start out with something, you know, easy to hunt like a squirrel or a rabbit. And then, you know, you might move up to deer and then you're like, okay, well now I'm going to go hunt like an elk or a bear or something. Next thing you know, you're over in Africa hunting lions or you're up in Alaska hunting humans.
Okay. So he would let these women go in the Alaskan wilderness and then would
hunt them.
But how long of a time would it take him? Like, would he wait for them to like, get in a place where it is a challenge for him?
I'd imagine he'd probably be like, run. And then he'd do something. Like maybe he'd go and get his gun and load it up and take a drink of beer, light a cigarette, put on his hunting hat, and then calmly walk outside and start stalking. That's what I'd imagine. I mean, I wasn't there.
Then I would probably run and then find some place to hide.
Yeah, that's what I never understood. Like in horror movies and stuff, when people are just constantly running and running and running. It's like climb up in a tree or something where he's not going to look up for you or, you know.
Yeah, underneath. That's how like bunnies and stuff in the wild are.
Bunnies climb trees in
the
wild?
No, I mean like when we're walking by, when me and the dogs are walking by, a bunny will just like lower itself into the ground, plaster its ears back, and just be really still.
Yeah, it'll look like a little rock instead of a actual abbot.
Or blend in with the grass or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Although in the movies that I've seen where people do try hiding, you think they're safe. And next thing you know, the killer's right behind them. They got an axe stuck in their head. So,
well, that's why you don't hide without any kind of, I don't know, like something.
What do you mean by something?
Like,
you're naked in the woods. What do you got in your pockets?
Like, I wouldn't just flatten myself on the fucking ground, like have myself all open for anyone to walk up on me. Like, I'd want to try to get somewhere where I'm somewhat protected.
Yeah, but you don't want to like get yourself enclosed in so you don't have an escape, you know, route.
Yeah.
Right? I think you should do what Arnold Schwarzenegger did in Predator. He like got himself completely coated in mud and like got himself like tangled up in all these roots of a tree stuck in a muddy thing. So when the Predator came by him, he blended right in. He was just all mud in all these roots.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're getting hunted in Alaska by a crazy serial killer, just remember what you learned in Predator. All right. So are you, I don't know. It's hard to say if you're a fan of the serial killer. I'm a fan of learning about a new serial killer. Like, I never heard about this guy before until I started looking for new topics to talk about.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm a fan because it's something new. It's not the same thing you read about with most serial killers where, you know, they would just abduct a girl by, you know, whatever, and then strangle and kill her. Like, this is something new. He's taking her, flying them out in a fucking plane and then hunting them.
Yeah, that's pretty out there. How many people did he kill?
He was convicted for 17. And I think from what I remember, there was probably a lot more, but they couldn't prove any or find any. And that's all he had marked down. I know he raped a lot more women than that, but he let them go. Yeah, at least 30 women he abducted and raped and let go, but 17 of them in 3 years were killed.
I'd like to know then what inclined him to let go some of them and murder the others.
If they submitted to a sexual, you know, fantasies.
Oh, like a broom being up there?
No, that was part of the assault. I don't know.
Like, I wonder what kind of sexual fantasies they had to.
What I read, it was a blowjob. He really liked blowjobs. So I guess if you're really good at it and you got him off, he would let you go. But if, you know, you didn't want to, you tried fighting, or if you were really bad at it, that's when you just get raped, stripped, shoved out in the wood and hunted.
I would just bite onto that dick and not let go.
Yeah, that's why I can, anytime I hear about someone like forcing, you know, oral sex, I never understand. Like, even in prison, you're in prison and some dude's trying to make you blow him, you know, just fucking, you bite one dick off, no one else is going to want to put their dick in your mouth, right?
Or you just cup the balls and squeeze real hard.
Or you bite the dick and twist the balls off.
Yeah.
Use your fingernails. Like, I start growing my fingernails out and sharpening them.
Yeah, but if you're abducted or whatever.
Oh, I was talking about if I was in jail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're ever raped and forced to give oral sex, definitely bite. Definitely. Except I think they can do, like, if you grab someone's cheeks, like, by their jaw, you can do it with dogs.
Like, force them to open their mouth?
Yeah. Like, if you want to feed a dog a treat, you know. Or,
but you would
like
think, though, if a dude is getting their dick bit into hard,
yeah,
wouldn't that be, like, way too intense of a pain to...
No, I'm talking about to prevent the girl from doing it.
Oh. I don't know. Like, I wonder, like, if he had them by gunpoint, or, you know, if he was threatening their lives while they were doing it to prevent them from doing anything like that.
Yeah, I know a lot of killers will, you know, try to comfort them and be like, everything's going to be okay. Just do this and you're going to live and I'm going to let you go and nothing bad is going to happen. And it's all lies, of course, but...
Well, yeah. If someone abducts me and rapes me, I'm not going to believe that their little, quote, comforting words are true.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I'm a fan of the new story that I heard, or new serial killer that I found.
Yeah, so this happened, when did this start? What year?
It was 1980 through 1983 were the killings.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a short period of time for that many people.
Yeah, 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess we should do sponsor time. Hopefully I can get them right. People keep saying I mess them up, but I think I got them right. First sponsor we'll is see. Deerwood Photography, the best photographer in Wisconsin. We're working on a calendar right now. You can hear more about that during the Bigfoot episode that'll release next week.
No, we're not.
Maybe not with Deerwood Photography. But the Make Me a Fan podcast is working on a calendar with the Balanced Yoga Wellness Center, our other sponsor. But first, go to facebook.com/Deerwood Photography, see all the awesome pictures, and message them. Get some rates, use a promo code, make me a fan, you get a free print. And then go to Get Balanced Yoga for the Balanced Yoga and Wellness Center. They're at 9733 West St. Martin's Road.
What did you call it?
The Balanced Yoga and Wellness Center.
It's just Balanced Yoga and Wellness.
I like center. It makes it sound really like professional. I mean, they're obviously a business, but it sounds like, you know, like some state-of-the-art thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how state-of-the-art you can get with yoga. Considering it's just like mats and music and stretching, but it's way harder than I can do.
Anyways, sorry, Balanced. Go on with their information.
Yeah, if you guys don't want me to call you the Wellness Center, I won't. At least I'm not calling you Get Balanced anymore. But yeah, go to, you know, Get Balanced Yoga, visit the Balanced Yoga and Wellness, use a promo code MMAF and get 1% off any of your orders. And find us on social media, Facebook and Instagram. We are Make Me a Fan Podcast. On Twitter, we are Make Me a Fan. And our webpage is makemeafanpodcast.com. Thank you all for listening. Carrie, say goodbye.
Bye.
Make Me a Fan Podcast.
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 Make Me a Fan Podcast.